Hey everyone, I'm Katie, your host. Welcome to Anatomy of an Agency. This podcast shares the real life experiences of people in the public eye who work in the business of sport and entertainment. Whether you're looking to work with talent or for your own representation, we hope to give you honest insight into how things work, the good, the bad, and everything else in between. In this episode, we catch up with Olympic sailing champion Ailey McIntyre in an absolutely buzzing Team GB house at the Paris Olympics. Scale of 1 to 10, how easy has it been becoming an Olympic champion?
10 being really, really hard. Yeah, like 30. It's an absolute whirlwind becoming Olympic champion. It's a journey unlike no other, with setback after setback, with emotional hit, with physical hit, and it's just non-stop, really.
And how much help did you have? Because you said you're sailing all your life, Your dad's an Olympic champion. Was that an advantage, or do you still feel like you started at ground zero?
It would be stupid of me to ever pretend I didn't have an advantage. Like, I knew what the Olympics was. I was obsessed with the Olympics. I always was sort of brought up believing I could go to the Olympics, which I think is the first thing that so many people don't have, is that belief. Not everyone's brought up with that belief that they can do anything. Apart from mine was that belief, you can do anything if you work hard enough. It wasn't just you can do anything, it was if you work really hard, you can do this, but only then. And so that definitely is an advantage. It also comes with this huge imposter syndrome, with this huge pressure as a child, and also, I guess in a way, that removal of the fun of it, because I wanted to win an Olympic gold medal age 4. So I didn't have that fun time with my friends. Like, everything was about winning, and that made it full on.
Yeah, goodness, I can imagine. So what advice, when you were like, right, this is what I want to do, you know, you're of a size where everyone's not saying they want to be footballers and ballet dancers, and you're like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
What advice did your dad give you in terms of the people you needed around you?
When I was a kid, it was just, we'll just go out on the water, do your core, stay fit, and go sailing, go racing, and learn from it. You know, it was as simple as that. It was just go and do it. It wasn't like I had this huge entourage or private coaches or, no, it was just, let's just go out, do as much as we can, get out on the water, and just enjoy it and thrive.
And when was the first time you would say you started to get recognition in the sport? Build a profile, people were writing about you, people within the sport knew your name.
God, I mean, has it happened? there is definitely, I think 2016, that cycle leading up to it, I definitely managed to get myself into some press, trying to sort of get my name out there a little bit, using my story of my dad to try and get some funding, to be honest, to try and get sponsorship to help us get there.
So you were doing that yourself? You didn't have any commercial support, like an agent, a manager, someone to take that load off while you go and be brilliant?
No, nothing. I never had anyone doing it for me. We put all of our pitches together ourselves when we used to go to, you know, when I teamed up with Hannah Mills, she had a few people helping her who were sort of huge assistants and sort of instrumental to the sponsors we did get. But before then, it was all me taking phone calls, phoning up all my sailing partner, Sophie at the time, phoning up, getting contact with people, reaching out, writing letters, yeah, anything we could.
Did anyone approach you about wanting to help you, or was that literally not an option?
I did get approached off the back of my newspaper article that I managed to get out, but it was like, we can offer you a couple of nights in a hotel, you know, which isn't that. It's so lovely, it's so nice when people offer these things, but I really needed sort of bespoke support in our journey.
And so what happened, you go through the Rio cycle, you don't go to Rio, but you've now got headwind into Tokyo.
Yeah.
You team up with Hannah.
Yeah.
You become Olympic champion.
Yeah.
Then is everyone knocking your door down to help?
No, everyone told me it was going to be a bit of a ghost after the games. Like, they were like, there won't be that much. It's not. I was like, yeah, sure. I could not believe how quiet it was. Like, I could not believe how little people, and it appeared to me, cared. I just was like, obviously your friends, your family really care. Everyone, you know, it means so much to them, and that's amazing. And you get these opportunities to inspire children. I like love it. But in terms of actual commercial opportunities, unbelievably hard. I genuinely thought people would reach out and think there's an opportunity to get someone who's not going to charge us through the earth. But certainly from my experience, people would rather, maybe naively from my case, but rather take a big headline, sort of use everything they've got to get one of the big headline athletes in, because their whole company will get so excited, than they will to get little old me in. I still have a great story to tell, and I don't have a massive following, so I can be really raw and open, you know. I don't have a reason not to be, and so I guess I just always felt I've got something to offer, I just wish I could do it.
And you have the opportunity to build with people your brand as well as their brand, to mesh the two together.
Yeah.
It's not the case that because you're a headliner you automatically match with what everybody's trying to achieve, but I've seen more often than not exactly what you're describing. Did you find it any easier when you were proactively pitching to get traction after you'd got a gold medal?
I did get more traction. So once I'd sort of put my foot out there and started trying to, I did get a few more things, but still from sort of like people I knew, friends of family. So many people just wanted me to do it for charity. Happy for me to give my time and come and do it, but wanted me to do it, and then proceeds go to charity, which I did quite a lot of that in sort of the early days. I actually started to get quite exhausted. Like, I was doing a lot, giving up a lot of evenings and a lot of days to sort of networking things, and I started to get quite like, I'm not really getting anything back, and I'm tired of feeling not worthy.
And people are telling you the value exchange is the opportunity, but then the opportunity doesn't come through. So then you're training for Paris.
Yeah.
But you decide, actually, I'm not going to go for Paris. Yeah. This is it. I'm transitioning out.
Yeah.
What did you want to do when you transitioned out? What was your dream role? Or what did you think about doing?
I have only ever sailed. So I went full-time sailing when I was 18. I joined the British sailing team when I was 15. I have never done anything else. I don't have a degree. I've got my A levels, that's it. And I've got a whole host of skills that I've learned along the way sailing. But I had no idea what to go and do. And I'd never put any time to it. I'd never invested in it. I'd never invested time into myself for post sailing. I just wanted to win a gold medal, and I would give that everything. And so, yeah, post retiring, I need to get a job. Like, and I need it like in a couple of months' time when I no longer get paid. And I really love property, so I just went and got a job as an estate agent, and it was the most humbling experience of my life. And I say that not in a, like, I had so much respect, but not many people have a lot of respect for estate agents, but I, having been one, am now like, no, they work really hard. Like, they actually are really doing their best to look after you, and so I have a lot of, like, it was very humbling for me doing it because of how little people wanted to see you, you know, or talk to you. And you've been Olympic champion and everyone just wants you to do all these things, and then you start talking to these people and they could not want to talk to you less. And they could not trust you less. And I'm just like, oh please, I promise I'm a nice person. I promise.
So say all the nice people.
Yeah, exactly.
But actually, the skills, and this is going to sound mad, right? The skills you actually need to be an effective estate agent are not dissimilar to the skills you would need to transfer into the media world to share a different story of your story. Did you think about trying to do that? If you'd had the support, is that something you would have wanted to do?
Yeah, totally. So my last year of sailing, I took on an agent. I tried to work with them because I wanted to be in the media. I really enjoy it. I enjoy telling stories. I enjoy talking to people and learning about them. And I thought this would be fun. It'd be great. And something I could be quite passionate about. And so I put together doing a podcast. I manned the money, I found the money, I found someone to produce it for me, I put it all together, I had artwork made, and I had some really cool guests. I had Alistair Brownlee, I had Matty Lee, I had Mosa B, like some really cool guests on the show. Loved doing it. And then I was like, that was a lot of effort doing that myself, you know, like just to get publicize it, to get people on board, again sort of like begging athletes to come on. I'm not sure it's worth it. And someone's time manager said to me, you're going to have to do a lot for free if you want to get into the media world. You're going to be giving up a lot of time and doing a lot for free. And I thought, I don't know if I want it that much though. Like, I don't know if I want to be in the media so much that I'm prepared to give it what I would give an Olympic, you know, that like giving up unlimited time, you know.
It's like you have to go again from scratch. Yeah. You're the best in the world at what you're doing, and suddenly you're starting, if you're lucky, one rung up.
Yeah, and I just thought, there's so many Olympians out there who want to do this. There's so many people who want to do it, who have had the training, who have people there helping them, who are probably far, you know, better qualified. And I just thought, I actually love property. I actually fell in love with that world and the opportunities and the things that happen, and it so plays into who I am anyway, in terms of it's all about creating relationships and trust and like care, you know? And so the world I'm in now is all about genuinely caring for people and trying to do your best for them, and I love that.
I need to get you when I need a house. but you're used to being part of a team. Like, you and Hannah in the boat were a unit. You have to trust each other implicitly. Do you think that if you maybe could have found that in someone from the commercial world, someone who could support you and guide you through, have your back, pick you up on the low days, you would have stuck with it?
I think maybe my life would have been different. I just didn't find the right person to bring that along. I'd never gone out on my own totally. I'd had a lot of time training on my own, but I always had a team around me, and I always had someone I was doing it with or trying to get to do it with. So yeah, you're right. Maybe had there been someone, it would have been a different story. I did work with people. And I worked with some really great Jonathan Overend took me in and mentored me. He was amazing, and I like helped me so much. I just sort of fell out of love with this. You're gonna have to give it so much free time and spare time, and I just thought, God, like again, like I've just done that for so long, and I just don't love it enough to do that.
Being back at the Olympics, are you like, this is a brilliant few days, I can't wait to get back to property? Or are you thinking, maybe no. I've got a second wind in me?
No, I'm loving being here. I'm loving being in the environment. I always knew Paris was going to be the end for me anyway. And it's quite emotional being here, but it's great. But also now, these things are actually, I've kind of learned a bit in the commercial world. I've learned how to network a little bit. I've learned how to talk to people and get to know them. I've expanded that skill set, and this is now a fantastic opportunity to be out here meeting new people.
If a young sailor got in touch with you and said, right, you know, my sailing's looking great. That's a technical term.
Yeah.
My sailing's looking great. I want to make this my life, my career. What advice would you give them about preparing for that life after sport and making the most of the opportunities around the sport while they're in it?
And maybe controversially, I would say go all in on your sailing. Go all in wholeheartedly. You've got to give it everything. But try and find someone on the outside who has your back. Try and find someone early on who has your back, who can do some legwork, do some of it for you and help you, and you can work as a unit. But I definitely, you know, it's your sport, and if you can find someone you really trust on the outside, then that is gonna help you so much when you leave.
Well, that's some brilliant advice from Ailey. We were very lucky to catch up with her live from Paris 2024, and we cannot wait to see what she gets up to next. We would like you to keep in touch with us at Good Vibes Only Talent on all our social channels. Tell us what you want to hear about. Tell us what you'd like to hear more of, maybe what you'd like to hear less of. And thank you very much for joining us on this episode. It's bye for now from me.